But I want to talk about the birthday, the aspect of the birthday party, which is what the world has taken and turned into what we call Christmas. So why do we have such an elaborate, I think it's the biggest celebration party of the year, all month long. We start planning it months ahead, saving money for it. We decorate every store, is just loaded with lights and beautiful things and decorations. And some people, I mean, I've heard many Christians that don't like that. They say that it's all commercialized and it's materialistic and it's not about Jesus at all. And, you know, I've even heard them say it's a sin to decorate a Christmas tree because there's scriptures where they fastened things onto a tree, but the rest of that says, and worshiped that tree. They decorated a tree and worshiped the tree. So, you know, we need to read second half of those ideas that we pull out of scripture. So we want to talk about Jesus' birthday and the celebration of his birthday. Is it right or is it wrong? Well, I don't see the same people who have a problem with celebrating Jesus' birthday having any problem celebrating their own. Year after year after year, we celebrate us being born. Once a year, we celebrate Jesus being born. And you know, I want to parallel something about birth. First of all, there were prophecies before Jesus was ever born. And having raised a few daughters, I know what young teenage girls do. Sometimes, in Janiyah's case, even before teenage years, they start thinking about when they're going to have a baby. And they start getting out a notebook. This comes right hand in hand with practicing writing their own name, you know, with different last names. You know, what if I married a Jones or a Smith or a, you know, and they practice writing their name with a new last name. Then they move on to making up baby names. What are we going to name my babies when they're born? Janiyah had notebooks full of all these names that she planned one day she could name these 12 kids that she wanted to have. So she had prophecies of having children, and she began thinking up names. She had a lot of names she liked. But as they started arriving, she prayed about what names God wanted. So, and Joseph were thinking about, what are we going to name this baby? What are we going to name this baby? And God intervened, and he told them what to name the baby. So there's a lot of what we're doing, pregnancy months, along with what Mary was going through, carrying that baby. What is his name going to be? In Matthew 1:21, let's go there. Matthew chapter 1. Harvey stole half of my stuff this morning, but that's okay. You know what? I know it. Every time I share with him, he preaches it before I get to. No one better to be talking this morning. Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, engaged, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bid him, and he took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Just a little insert there, firstborn son. Jesus had brothers. Some churches want to worship the Virgin Mary, but Virgin Mary was no longer a virgin after the birth of Jesus. She did go on to be with her husband and birth mortal children, and he had brothers. So we're not supposed to worship Mary. We're supposed to worship Jesus. Right. He alone is God, and he alone is worthy of our worship. We do not worship Mary.
Right.
It really bothers me, even that movie. What was that movie, everybody? Passion of Christ. There were a lot of things in there that gripped the emotions of people, and they went running to church. But if you watched it and listened to people that weren't really grounded in God, you would hear them talk about his mother. So much of it was based on seeing it from the point of view of his mother. Oh, man, I can't imagine being his mother, how she felt. And, you know, there was focus on the mother. Focus is to be on Christ.
Amen.
Do you ever go to a birthday party and celebrate you? Well, that's kind of what we've turned Christmas into. Sometimes it's about me, 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 me. What do I get? What do I want? What about me? I don't have enough this year, you know, and I what I wanted. We're going to switch that up a little bit this year. I've got fun and games going on in my family. No auction this year. There's mystery prizes. And the mindset, we're playing games, we're having fun. And sometimes you might get a prize you don't. You might get a piece of coal. You might get an egg. You don't know what you might get. It's all about giving and laughing and having fun. And Jesus' birthday celebration. It should be a celebration. I keep going in and out. Okay. That's better. So his name being God with us. That, if nothing else was said, there's enough to celebrate. I love everything that we've heard already this morning and that Janiyah shared over here. God, come to live with us in a human body. Never done before. First time and only time he did that. What an amazing thing. And his name, Jameen, God with us. The anticipation of his birth. Man, you know, we start, even before Christmas, we start way back and we anticipate what we're going to do. Nobody decorates this for my birthday. Nobody puts up a tree and has half of their storage room filled with boxes and balls and things. My birthday. You know, so we're supposed to celebrate. We're supposed to anticipate it. We're supposed to have plans to celebrate. Big deal out of this birth. Way long day. Harvey shared with you this morning. I wish you could picture it in a scene of how these things happened. Because you'd picture the first scene and we'd see the manger that we always talk about. And I'm sure there were angels over that manger. Everyone couldn't see them, but they were there. And there they are in that poor little manger, Mary and Joseph, and the little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now it says that after her purification, in the Bible, they talked about the season of purifying your body after the birth of a baby. If you've ever had one, you know that that's 6 to 8 weeks where your body is cleansing itself. And it talked about after this purification, the shepherds came during that time because they were right there in the same land. So now we see the manger with the shepherds, with the animals, Mary, Joseph, baby, angels. And then when the baby is about 2 to 3 months old, they go to Jerusalem. Next scene should be in Jerusalem as they're coming into the temple. And here we see old Simon taking that little baby that he's waited his whole life. Can you imagine the purpose of your whole life? And the only mention of you in Scripture is that you stayed waiting to see the birth of Christ. So you could say, today I tell you this is him. Now he was 2 to 3 months old by then because Mary had to wait until after her purification was done. He mentioned Anna, the prophetess, who lived in that church. Now, it said she was a widow for 84 years. She had been married for 7 before that. Now, if you want to bring her back to getting married as a young, young girl, we got a lady over 100 years old. 84 of those years in the temple. She had no husband and she had no child. I don't think this woman had anyone, anything in the world but God to love. So she just lived in the temple day and night, worshiping, praying, interceding, waiting. And then she held that little 2 to 3 month old baby. They can smile. Now that's the exciting part. The shepherds, they saw the newborn wrapped in swaddling clothes. They got the message the same day he's born. And they're looking at the newborn, little red-faced infant, but not Anna and Simon. They got a 2 to 3 month old. They can smile. They can giggle. They can react to you. What a blessing that God waited. They had waited their whole life. God said just a couple more months so he can interact with you. Baby Jesus could smile, giggle, grab their finger, coo, speak to them in baby talk. How exciting is that? I'm so glad that they got interaction from him. They didn't get that newborn scene. Now then they ended up back in Bethlehem. But they didn't live in a stable. They had to get a house. They got a little house. And here's the wise men way over here, seeing the star in the east, knowing Christ had been born, but it took them about 2 years to get there. Now think about that. We think there's too much fuss made over Christmas, that for a whole month we're focusing. Let's go shopping. Let's buy gifts. Let's spend time getting ready and decorating. It's only like the month of December that really consumes us. 2 years. These wise men, if they were wise men, were positioned somewhere giving counsel. They had a career. They had to go shopping. They bought gold. They purchased gold. They purchased frankincense and myrrh, which was very expensive. Now we say today, I don't like shopping part of Christmas. How is that godly? I'm going, the stores are greedy. They're just after your money. You're probably right. But so were these merchants. And still the wise men went and bought the beautiful fragrance perfume. You know, God has a love language. He loves lights, he loves colors, and he loves frankincense and myrrh. I have some frankincense and myrrh. It smells really good. And you know, I have other oils. I started wearing my oils again because it's my gift to him to mix beautiful smells when I worship him. So I started wearing them some again and mixing. One of them is frankincense and myrrh. The other day, I just wanted to see how that would smell. So I put a little bit on my arm, but I put my other thing on this arm. This wore off. But hours and hours and hours later, this one was still here. There's something about that one that lingers. You know, that's a special fragrance. And it's God's favorite. He had his ministers anoint themselves with perfumes when they came into the temple, when they came into the Holy of Holies. God likes gift giving. They had to shop, and they put it in a treasure chest. I don't know how big that was, but they put it in something. So for 2 years, they shopped, they bought, they traveled. And I love, because Jesus moved out of the stable. That star was over Bethlehem, right over that stable that night. But when he moved to a house, that star came to the wise men, and it led them all the way there to Bethlehem. It couldn't have been easy to find him, because King Herod had said, kill all the children under 2 years old. That means it was a huge enough place, and even the outer skirts of that area, it was big enough. Herod couldn't just say, there's a baby in town, find it. He said they had to kill a lot of children. There was weeping in Ramah for these mothers whose babies were killed. When baby Moses was born, the king said, kill all the babies. Murder all the babies. Find that prophet. When Jesus was born, the king said, murder all those babies. Kill the Christ. Our world today has murdered millions of babies. Millions by abortion of unborn babies. We are in a crucial time of history. And that's another sign of it. God is getting ready to come and do something. And the prophecy has grown beyond find that one, find that Moses, find that Christ, to find those children. Because the prophecy is many children today. So it took 2 years to get there. And when they got there, they opened their treasures and gave him gold and myrrh and frankincense. This is where we get our celebration. This is why we wrap the gifts up and we open them to find the treasures inside. It's all the way that we found in the Bible to do this. There was great rejoicing. There was great rejoicing for a couple of years because that star shined bright. The Christmas star that God hung in the sky shined bright for a couple of years. He decorated the heavens and he let it shine for 2 years. It's okay to have a long preparation to celebrate his birth. Gifts were brought to the baby Jesus. Gifts were brought to the child Jesus. You know, another problem I have when we see the traditional manger and everything is at that manger, and we don't think about Jesus being two when the wise men got there with the gifts. Now, if you've seen a two-year-old, they're not laying in swaddling clothes behaving. He might have been riding around on a wild goat. He might have been out chasing down a cow. I mean, he might have been who knows what, playing with other kids and getting mud all over him. But he was two. He was playing. He was active. He was lively. And when they came, they had a party and gave him gifts. We don't celebrate Christmas by only singing Silent Night. Silent Night fits the birth. It fits the manger. It fits the holiness of this little baby coming. But by these two, there's a party. There's a celebration. There's exciting things going on for a child at two doesn't want a mellow party. They want to have fun. I don't know a two-year-old that wants what happened in the manger. They want a house party now. So we need to enjoy Christmas. We need to laugh. We need to enjoy it. We need to buy gifts. We need to decorate. You know, it's the one thing the devil's having a hard time stealing. He's got his dirty hands on it, making it about greed. He got his corruption in it about what do I get, what do I get, here's my list. He corrupted Santa Claus, who actually started out, and I didn't look this up this morning, I ran out of time. St. Nicholas, I believe I read this in the past, St. Yep. Nicholas was a real man, yep, who went around giving gifts to poor children. Yep. It started out as a good concept, not to worship him, but a heart of giving. I don't have a problem with Santa Claus, as long as you tell your kids he's not real, he's a game, he represents giving gifts, but it is not about what you get. It is about the heart of giving to others. And we'll go into that in a minute. The lights, the trees, I believe God loves Christmas.
Amen.
Estelle, the first half of the word, Christmas. Some places do the big X. But at least at this point, it is not illegal for us to put the word Christmas out. It may become illegal. It's illegal to put a manger scene on public property today. It's illegal to do many things that restrict it to be about Christ. But we can still say Christmas and underline the Christ in the word. It is still a celebrated birthday of Christ, and we can still say that. We can announce that. We can make it about that. If we, as Christians, corrupt it, then we have joined the devil's side to take Christ out of Christmas. But right now, it's the biggest party, the biggest celebration of the year, and we need to take advantage of that time to make it about Christ. One way is to keep the word Christmas. Another is to sing the songs about Christ. We don't want to sing Jolly Old St. Nicholas and Frosty the Snowman and leave Christ out. I like those songs. They're fun. But we have to keep it about Christ. We have to remind people when we get together that it's about Christ. On Christmas Eve, we like to get together with whatever family is close by, drink cocoa. Harvey reads the Christmas story. This year, I'm going to just give you a little idea. If you have a Christmas party, we changed this one up a little bit. Janiyah found a writing. Some of you ladies will know this right-left game. You know, you sit in a circle. Somebody reads something, every time they say right in a sentence, you pass a gift to the right. When they say left, you pass it to the left. Like he left his home in glory, you pass it over. He left everything, you pass it over. You keep passing. Because he had a right, you pass it back to the right. You pass this gift left or right every time those words come up. But she found a way to read the Christmas story using the left-right game. So that we're actually playing the game, passing the gifts around, And the kids have to listen closely to the story to hear the left and right. It's a new way to get their attention to that story. So it's still bringing Christ back in, not just leaving him out while we go have the fun party. If it's his party, shouldn't it be about him?
Amen.
God loves Christmas when it honors Christ.
Amen.
And God has one particular love language, his favorite love language, is love. And love is represented by giving. Love sacrifices and gives. In 1 John 4:7, Jesus said, "Beloved, let us love." That wasn't Jesus talking, I'm sorry. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God." What would Jesus want for his birthday? We have a gift box. You know, we want to wrap a gift and remind you it is his birthday. That's why we put that out every year. And when you give into that box, normally we give to people in a charitable way. This year we're also hoping to get a tape duplicator so you can take worship home right away. But what would Jesus like us to do then? In John 15:17, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So if you want to make Jesus real happy on his birthday, you give gifts to others in his name. You give gifts because it's his birthday. And you do it because you love him. We don't do it in selfishness. We don't do it in greed. We need to teach our children it is more blessed to give than to receive. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." God watches your giving. This is how give Jesus, because he's watching your giving. He says men will give you more than you gave them. Not the same man, but God will move through men to give to you. He said, "Whatever you're measuring, here's my giving cup, God, and I'm going to fill it to the second finger." I'm going to give this much right here. Here's my cup. God says, "Well, you gave to this amount. I'm going to press it down, and then I'm going to fill that cup up with more, shake it up, press it down some more, fill it up, let it run over, and give it back to you." You cannot outgive God.
Amen.
It thrills the heart of God.
Amen.
When you give from a heart of love.
Amen.
He says, don't give because you have to, and don't give grudgingly. But God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Now, if that happened with two fingers, what happens when you fill your giving cup and you give more? I think God will double the cup.
Right.
Now let's start at that level with God. You cannot outgive God.
Amen.
And yet we don't give to get, because we're back to greed. We give because it is more blessed to give. It's exciting. It's exciting where it gets exciting. You know, you've heard, give till it hurts. Give till it hurts and then starts to feel good. Get beyond the hurt. When God gives the unreasonable giving, when he gives away beyond measure, when he moves on your heart. You know, the Bible says, "Give to him that would ask of thee and turn not away." That's just human. That's just human giving. Harvey comes up and says, "Please, can I have $10 for gas?" Okay, here's your $10 for gas. That's human giving, and God blesses it abundantly. I'll probably get 20 back somewhere down my road. But when God says, guess what? I want you to do more than give him gas. I want you to give him your car. What? He only asked me for $10. Yeah, but he needs a car, and I want him to have your car. Wow. That's unreasonable. That's not fair. I had to work for that car. I had to pay money for that car. And he's probably lazy and won't go to work. That's why he doesn't have a good car, you know. And God says, judge not the cause of the poor. You know, that word judge doesn't, in that sentence, does not only mean condemn. It means don't analyze it. Don't debate it. Don't try to figure out why that man is poor. If God himself says give, just do it. Just do it. But they don't deserve it. So that's God's best way to give what we don't deserve. And that very goodness is so beyond human thinking and reason and beyond human love that that person receiving the car goes, I don't get it. Why would you do that? And you have to be honest and say, I wouldn't. I wouldn't, man. It's my car. There's no way I'd give you that car. God gave you that car. I just obeyed him. And actually, you know what? It's not my car. Because I have to surrender everything I own to be his. When my son got married, we were out in Texas starting a church. We literally did not have anything. We called it the nickel offering. They were the poorest people you've ever seen. Count the nickels today, you know. We got $1. We would walk to McDonald's and hope to do the scratch thing and also win some French fries. So we had one drink and a French fry to share with about four or five of us. And then we'd be excited. Yay, we won the French fries again, you know. I literally didn't even have a dollar to buy my son a wedding gift. And I said, God, what can I give him? He said, what's the most precious thing you own? I said, my Bible. He said, then give them that. So I gave them my Bible, the one I used that had all my notes, that had everything God had shared with me. I gave them my Bible. Even if you don't have money, you can give. You can give this Christmas on a human level. You can give from whatever you have. You can give service. You can go clean somebody's house. You can go scrape their driveway, shovel. Shovel their driveway. You can make them a card. There's nothing more precious than all the little cards that come from the grandkids that they decorate with glitter and glue and pretty little things. But you have something. You're not living in your car on the road. You have a house and you have something. Give to the people you love, but do it because you love Jesus. Do it because of God, because it's his birthday, and it thrills his heart. You don't even have to go up and say, well, you know, I'm going to give you to this because God told me to, and it's his birthday, you know. You go to the family party, and they're trying to preach to everybody and say, this is all about Christ. I'm here, but it's not because of you. It's because of Jesus. So this gift is because it's his birthday. That isn't bringing anybody to God. You just be a cheerful giver. You just give abundantly, and especially when God tells you something unreasonable. If they come back and ask you why, you can tell them it's Christ. But I'm not saying you have to go into the family party and start preaching to them.
No.
They will see your life. They will know the love of Christ in you. You don't have to tell them. They'll see it. They'll know. They'll know that that was given in a love that's beyond human love. Give from your human love. God will bless it. But give from his love when he moves on you, and you will get so happy. It feels so good. And you know what? It's not you. So even if you get to stand up and witness and testify about it, it's not bragging because it wasn't you. And what you gave probably wasn't yours either. He gave it to you. I'm going to share. See, I used to not want to share when I gave something because I thought, oh, I don't want to get the glory for that. I wouldn't have done it. So I couldn't get the glory because I would not have done it. It was God. But I want to tell you about somebody last week. There's a friend of mine who taught me about thankfulness many years ago, that God multiplies thankfulness. Anything you're truly thankful in your heart to God for, that thing, that very thing gets multiplied in your life. So that friend was here in church last week, and I felt like I was supposed to give her $10 for bus fare. So I handed her a 10, and she said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And God immediately said to me, she's been so thankful. Now give her 100. So I gave her 100. She said, what? Oh, my my gosh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. She never said thank you to me. And you notice that? She knows me really well. She knows I wouldn't have done that. So she starts praising Jesus for the 100. He said, give her 200 more. Multiply it. When I gave her the next 200, she dropped on the table and started weeping and weeping and weeping. I can't believe, God, how good you are. Thank you, thank you. I said, oh, my goodness, what's he going to do with that thankfulness? He said, I want you to tell her that I wanted to bless her for teaching you to be thankful. Is that precious? He is so precious. He is so amazing. And you know what? I did not go home saying, man, I'm out $310. There goes half of my Christmas spending. I had such a joy inside of me. I left here giggling happy, giggling happy. I mean, I was just overflooded with the joy of the Lord because he, inside of me, was so excited. Excited to give, excited over the thankfulness. It excites him. Let's teach our children that. Giving. Christmas is about Jesus' birthday. It's about giving gifts. Give from what you have. Give with a cheerful heart. Bless him and love giving. Some of my best Christmases to my kids were my poorest. When John, my oldest boy, was only 3 or 4, I gave him a little jar full of pennies. And he shook them, and he shook them, and he opened the jar, and he spread them all over the floor, and he attempted to count them, which he couldn't quite do yet. Put them back in the jar, shake them some more. We took pictures, John and his pennies. There probably wasn't 50 pennies in that jar, but it thrilled him. Children are easy to please, are we? When you open a gift, be exceeding thankful for it. Praise God for it. Thankful somebody loved you enough to hand you something. I'm going to be really thankful to eat those goodies from Mary and Don when I get done talking up here. I peeked at him and went, oh, yeah, as soon as church is over, I might share some with Harvey. No, I will, hon. I will give you a couple. I love Christmas because it's all about giving and loving. People that normally won't even blink at you will say, Merry Christmas. There's something so loving and cheerful in the air, and that something is God. And you know, because there's so much love, and there's so much cheer, and there's so much friendliness, would the devil do that? No. It's God. Jesus likes his birthday. So amen. Let's have fun celebrating his birthday today.
Amen.
And the rest of the month, and all the way through next Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for blessing and giving to us. And fill us up with your heart and your love. Let us give from our own love abundantly. But let us be open to whatever your heart wants to do through the next week. Let us listen closely for your creative ideas. Let us listen closely to your laughter when you see people so happy to receive. Let us watch you melt down in weeping tears as people thank you and praise you. Let this be your best birthday ever. So we say happy birthday, Jesus. Amen.